Chapter 8. Pray for daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Who here is this us? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to... Correction. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I have been ordained a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 1 Timothy 2. Should we pray for Satan's conversion? Should we petition God to save those from whom he has... Correction. Should we pray for Satan's conversion? Should we petition God to save those whom he has reprobated? Should we ever ask the Lord to bless those he currently considers his and our enemies, such as the Red Chinese and especially their communist regime, and Christ-resisting Judaists and fundamentalistic Muslims? And should we say prayers for dead folk at their funerals? These questions are in principle already answered by the Larger Catechism, which says that the Bible requires us, we are to pray for the whole Church of Christ upon earth, for magistrates and ministers of ourselves, our brethren, and for all sorts of men living, or that shall live hereafter, but not for the dead, nor for those that are known to have sinned the sin unto death. First, we are to pray with and for others. At family worship, at prayer meetings, during Sabbath worship, and at national days of prayer. Acts 12 verse 5 and Psalm 35 verse 13. For the whole church, Ephesians 4:13. For the state, 1 Peter 2. For ministers, Romans 15:30. For our brethren, 1 John 4 verse 21. For congregations, Jeremiah 29 verse 7. For our family, Job chapter 1 verse 5. For the nations, Daniel 9. And for future generations, Psalm 102 verse 15 and John 17, 20. Second, we are to pray for the whole Church of Christ here on earth. Although the Christian Church started in the Garden of Eden right after the fall and continued in the National Israel and later in the Apostolic Church and the congregations of the Protestant Reformation, all see Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, compare Romans 11, 13 to 23 and 16, 20, and Acts chapter 7 verse 38, and Hebrews 9 verse 10 and following, compare Revelation 13 verse 11 following, and 17 verses 14 to 16 with Daniel chapter 7 verses 8 to 27. We are not to pray for this now triumphant church, but only for the church militant now on earth, and the church latent that will yet be revealed between the present time and Christ's second coming. In praying for the church militant, we are to pray for the whole Church of Christ now on earth, and not just, though certainly preeminently, for our own denomination. He who is not against us, said Jesus to his disciples, is for us. Luke 9, verses 48 to 50, compare Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, and Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 41. This is why Paul prayed, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Church of God, which is at Corinth, together with all that in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours." Thus 1 Corinthians 1, verses 2 and 3. And this is why we, today, like Paul of old, need to be praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints, or for all God's elect currently alive. Ephesians 6, verse 18. While further praying specifically for those Christians worldwide who, regardless of their denominational affiliation, share our own views as to the scriptural teachings about sovereign grace and baptism and church government, we also need to pray especially for our own denomination's work throughout the earth. And this means praying not only for the various officers and other members of our local congregations, but also for our regional presbyteries, our national or international general assemblies, and our various foreign mission posts under the very ends of the earth. Do you pray for the whole Church of Christ on earth, regardless of denomination? Do you particularly pray for the advance of the work of all those Christian groups you consider to be more orthodox? And do you pray for the local, regional, national, and international outreach of your own denomination, and that it may ever become as orthodox as is humanly possible? Third, we are to pray for magistrates and ministers. The order mentioned here by the Larger Catechism is rather important. Not ministers and magistrates, but magistrates and ministers. Today, many Christian leaders heretically teach that only preachers and/or church-employed persons are in what they so unscripturally call full-time Christian service. But this is not the language of the preacher John Calvin, who had the very highest regard for the work of the Christian magistrate. Nor is the language of our Calvinistic Larger Catechism, which first enjoins us to pray for magistrates and then for ministers. The fact of the matter is that not only preachers and missionaries, but all Christians are ministers of Christ and are or ought to be involved in Christian ministry in their daily professional occupations. Actually, there is no such thing as the ministry in the sense that only some church-employed persons are involved therein. And if Paul could call even the heathen Roman state the minister of God, as in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, how much more is this not the case in respect of godly magistrates? Godly magistrates represent God himself as they seek to mete out his perfect justice. This is why the Lord Jesus gave the name of gods to those who would occupy the office of godly magistrate as God's agents. John 10, verse 34 and following, compare Psalm 82. And this is also why the Apostle Paul felt that he had to exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Compare Titus 3, verse 1 following, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 27, etc. Do you realize that God uses magistrates and lawyers to promote the peace and tranquility necessary for the preaching of the gospel so that men can be saved? Do you pray that young Christians should go out into the full-time Christian work of law and politics to the glory of our Savior? And when did you last pray for your lawyer, your judge, your congressman, and the President of the United States? Fourth, we are also, of course, to pray for those ministers involved in church-employed vocations. Those active in such ministry or diaconia would include the deacons, the preachers, and the elders of our congregations, as well as ministers of music, youth ministers, and ministers of church education, etc. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, compare Romans chapter 12, verses 7 and 13. These offices, and particularly the special offices of preacher, elder, and deacon, are in no sense subordinate to one another, but only to Jesus Christ, the only King of his church. And because subordinate only to him, they are, though functionally distinct, essentially co-equal and coordinate with one another in the blessed service of Christ. Philippians 1 verse 1. To call only the preacher the minister, and not to call the elder and especially the deacon co-ministers, is utterly unscriptural and un-Protestant. Peter's mother-in-law ministered to Jesus and his disciples. Mark 1 verse 31. Phoebe of Kenchrea ministered to her congregation and to many Christians, including Paul himself. Romans 16 verses 1 to 2. And Peter too tells us to practice hospitality to one another without grudging. For as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same gift to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hence, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him or her do it as of the ability which God gives, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Do you pray for your ministers? For all of them, whether they be deacons, preachers, or elders, whether they be youth ministers or ministering widows. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, 5, 9, 10. Compare verses 1, 17, 20, 22, and chapter 6, verse 1 following. Do you encourage all ministering Christians to fulfill their own particular ministry? Fifth, we should not neglect to pray for ourselves. Some Christians think that such prayers are selfish and inappropriate and spend all their time praying only for others. But the Bible makes it clear that if we don't pray for ourselves too, we won't be of much use praying for others. Consider how Jacob prayed for himself to Jehovah. Deliver me, please, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Genesis 32, verse 11. We are to love our neighbor as ourself, neither more or less. Matthew 22 and Ephesians 5. We are required to pray for our neighbor. We need to pray for ourselves too. For if we do not pray for ourselves that we should conform to the will of God, our prayers for our neighbor will not be of much avail. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Compare Galatians 6, chapter 10. Correction. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Compare Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Do you then pray? End of chapter 8.